Now, there are 256 different names in the Bible for Jesus. Think of that. 256 descriptive names for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And I suppose that is because He is so infinitely beyond our comprehension that the Holy Spirit gave us so many different ways to know of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible Word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at lancasterbaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
Welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church and Merry Christmas one and all. We're delighted that you're here. And in this changing world and these busy times, one of the things that Christmas Eve does for all of us is it brings us back to the very most important truth in life, and that is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for all that He's done for us and all that He is doing for us. And I want you to take your Bible with me tonight and turn, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel tonight, chapter 2. And if you do not have a Bible, there may be a neighbor nearby that has one. If they don't have one, I promise to read it just absolutely clearly tonight. And if I stumble, I'll back up and start again. How's that sound? But we're going to have a good time tonight in the remaining few moments of this service. Haven't you enjoyed the music already? And what a blessing to hear teenagers and the adult choir and all of the different music that we've heard thus far. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read beginning in verse number 1. And it's Christmas Eve. I'll let you just remain seated for tonight as we read the scripture. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the simple fact that more than 2,000 years later, the star is still shining and the Savior is still being worshiped, and that we are here tonight to praise your holy name. And we ask tonight, Lord, that the light of that very first Christmas would shine brightly in every heart tonight. I pray if there's anyone in this service tonight that does not know Christ as their Savior, they've never received the gift of salvation, that even tonight on this Christmas Eve, they would make room in their heart for you, Jesus. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas has for many hundreds of years been associated with beautiful decorations, and it has especially been associated with light. And in the early days of America, there were candles that were lit, and throughout the past many years of our country's history, there have been celebrations with light to tell of the coming of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I read an article recently about a man named Dave who made a tremendously creative set of lights all around his house. He had a very brightly lit house, and one of those that you drive by and you just wonder, how did the guy get all of those lights plugged in without his breaker box going off, you know? And how did he do that? And just the whole neighborhood was enthralled by it and so forth. Problem was that Dave's neighbor, Chet, felt intimidated by it. In fact, he really didn't know how he could even get in the league of Dave with respect to lighting up his house that way. He felt like people might think he's a Grinch just because he didn't really have his house lit up like Dave's house was lit up. And so Chet decided that what he would do is simply place on his roof with a strand of lights one word with an arrow pointing to Dave's house. And so Chet put this word, ditto. And he pointed to his neighbor's house. And so if you've got a guy next to you that's just showing you up, you might try that next year and just say, ditto. Well, tonight we don't want this service just to be a ditto, but we surely want to agree with what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to agree concerning the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And traditionally, as we have had Christmas Eve services here at Lancaster Baptist, we like to emphasize the light of the world, Jesus Christ. The Bible says of Him in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And of course, that verse speaks of the prophecy of the Bible, and it tells us that we would do well to take heed until the day star arises in our hearts. The day star is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, any man, woman, boy, or girl that will, with an open heart, read the Word of God will come to a place when the day star will rise up in their heart and when Jesus Christ will be known in their life. The Bible says in Malachi 4 and verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." And then the Bible speaks of Jesus in Revelation 22:16 when it says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." What a wonderful description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are 256 different names in the Bible for Jesus. Think of that, 256 descriptive names for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And I suppose that is because He is so infinitely beyond our comprehension that the Holy Spirit gave us so many different ways to know of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, we look at one of those descriptions that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I want you to think about Him with me tonight because this is His birthday party. And we're here to remember Him and all that He has done for us. When I think about Jesus, I think of Him, first of all, as the person of the light. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." Now, the wise men refer to the star as His star, but in reality, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the star simply was something that directed the wise men toward the light that really mattered, and that light was the Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers 24:17 is the first mention in the Bible of this light. It says, "I shall see Him, but not now. I shall behold Him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and shall destroy the children of Seth." The wise men were not seeking to worship the star. They were not seeking to worship the angels. And so many today, with their New Age religions, are missing the mark. They're worshiping stars, they're worshiping angels, they're worshiping Mother Earth, so-called, but they are not worshiping the creator of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not here tonight to celebrate the earth, we're here to celebrate the creator of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says of him in Psalm 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" What a wonderful verse. Let me read it to you again. It's in your notes if you have the notes. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" What a wonderful promise tonight that we have such a wonderful Savior and that He wants to be the strength of our life. He wants to be the light of our life. And many times in this materialistic society, we have a tendency to find our strength, our encouragement from the temporal. And yet God says, "I want to be your strength and I want to be your light." And He gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the light of our life. Jesus is the light. But not only is Jesus the light in the sense of our spiritual guidance and direction and salvation, but we also see that Jesus Christ is referred to in the Bible as the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Now think of that for a moment. The sun lights about half of the planet at one time, and certainly the sun is bright and radiant. It brings life and abundance of crops. But Jesus is referred to spiritually as the light of the world. And the wise men were following a star. But there were times, no doubt, when that star was not seen. And there are times in our lives when we must, by faith, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 describes him to us in this way, verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John," speaking of John the Baptist. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light." Now that was John the Baptist's responsibility. John the Baptist, as a Baptist preacher, if we can say that tonight, had one job. And his job was to bear witness of the light. Do you know what my job and your job is tonight? To bear witness of the light. And boys and girls, if you have a light at home, maybe on a tree or maybe on your house, maybe a candle that will be lit tomorrow, I want you to remember that Jesus is the light of the world and that it is our responsibility, even as the choir lit the candles tonight, it is our responsibility to spread the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 8 and verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are not of the darkness, we are of the day. Why? Because of the light of the world in our lives tonight. Those who have received Christ as their Savior are not walking in the darkness, but we are walking in the light. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? That we are the children of the light. The person of the light that we follow is not some illuminated avatar, is not some guru, is not some New Age philosopher. The light that we follow tonight is none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. But notice not only the person of the light, let's notice secondly the pathway of the light. You see, the Bible tells us that the Word of God will be a light unto our path. It will guide us. And I want you to see that this pathway Jesus provides first is a biblical path. Now notice in verse 4, the Bible says in Matthew 2, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Now I want you to take note of this tonight. Again, simple but profound. These wise men were not merely following a star. There were times when the star was clouded and covered. There may have been other times when they were behind a certain range of mountains that they could not see as clearly. They were following the brightness of that star, no doubt, intermittently through this trip. But more than that, they were following the promise of the Word of God. They were following. And when Herod, who was very intimidated by the thought of another king on his turf, when Herod heard about this Lord Jesus Christ, they did not simply refer to the star, although they did that. They referred to the Scriptures. And the reason for the direction in their life was that they were following the Bible. And I want to ask you a question. If someone in the new year stops you and says, how come you're going in that direction in your life? How come your family goes to church so much? How come you're involved in serving God in this way or that? Why is it that you tend to be a little more conservative in your behavior? It is my prayer that you won't simply talk about a star or a feeling or an emotion, but that you'll be able to have biblical basis for the direction in your life. And the reason that those wise men were heading towards Bethlehem is because the Word of God had prophesied Bethlehem to be the place where Jesus was born. Several months ago, as we were there in Bethlehem, we had the opportunity to go into a cave in the side of the hill, about maybe a half a mile from another site where some believe Jesus was born. And the fact is that as we stood in that cave, we were standing no doubt within maybe yards, maybe no more than a half a mile or so of where Jesus was born. And we were considering the fact that He was laid there in the hay, laid in the manger, laid there with no doubt animals nearby. And as we were there in that dark cave and we're listening to the guide describe how caves were used for the housing of animals and how the trough would have been hewn out of stone, we were there in a dark place thinking about the light of the world. And we began to sing in that little cave, Away in a Manger. And we began to ponder how that Jesus Christ came and how He was willing to humble Himself for our salvation. And we were there in Bethlehem for the same reason the wise men were. We have read in the Scriptures that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And so we went to the place where the Scriptures said Jesus Christ had been born. You see, the Scriptures should be the guide of our lives. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof. And God says, I want you to follow My Word for your biblical path. Now, we know that there were many Old Testament prophecies that had been followed. And the wise men who came from the Babylonian region, perhaps up through the Fertile Crescent and then down into the place known as Jerusalem and Bethlehem, they were coming from the same place where Daniel and others had come from. Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel 9 and verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. We know that in the Babylonian captivity, those prophets and those believers there had copies of the word of God, and they had studied it. And these three wise men had come into contact with the truth of the Word of God concerning Messiah. And the Bible set a direction for their life. I thank God tonight that at Lancaster Baptist Church, when we teach our new members the Baptist distinctives, the very first letter we teach is the letter B, which stands for Bible authority in all matters of faith and practice. And we endeavor to do what we do because of what the Bible says. That's what I believe was important in the wise men's life. They were following the biblical path. But not only was it a biblical path, it was secondly a proven path. Whenever you follow the Word of God in your life, you can know that you're not just trying something out to see how it's going to work. When you follow the Word of God, you are following the proven, tested path of the Scriptures. And in Psalm 119, I read it a moment ago, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we need to follow the path of the Scripture, the direction of the Scripture, as the wise men did. Years ago, there were migratory birds in the United States that were being tagged by the Department of the Interior. They were being tagged with these little metal strips. Maybe you've seen birds in the past with little metal anklets on them. And they were tagging a good number of these birds, and they had placed on them, in abbreviated words, Washington Biological Survey, W-A-S-H-B-I-O-L, period, and then S-U-R-V, period. And so the fact is that as these birds were migrating, the government tried to keep track of their patterns and so forth. And there was a farmer down in Arkansas who saw some of these migratory birds coming along the way. And he looked up and saw them coming, and he thought, you know what, I'm going to get me some dinner. And he went inside and got his shotgun. Sure enough, he laid into one and shot it down. But he wrote a letter to the Department of the Interior, and it went like this. He said, "Dear sirs, I shot one of your crows. My wife followed the cooking instructions attached. She washed it, boiled it, and served it. It was the worst thing we ever ate." Now, they did follow the instructions. They just had the wrong version, I'm afraid. But the fact of the matter is that when we follow the Word of God, we can put our faith knowing it's a proven path. We're following the same Word that led the wise men to Jesus Christ. We're following the same Word that has led millions of people to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're following the same Word that the apostles taught and preached and lived and died for. And how we thank God for the person of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also thank God for the path that it provides, the direction that it provides in our life. And then I want you to notice with me finally tonight, the people of the light, the people of the light. And when I mention the people of the light, I speak tonight of the saved of this world. People who have been illuminated by the Scriptures and by the Spirit of God, and people whose lives have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:16 says this, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." The great light is the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, the devil has a lot of lights. He has a lot of religion. He has a lot of religious blinking lights. But the Bible speaks of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. The Bible says the devil many times will distract the minds of an unbeliever with all the other blinking lights, lest they put their faith in the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight is not merely about a quick religious moment. Tonight is about worshiping Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and knowing Jesus Christ as a personal Savior in our life. And the people of the light, people who are of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, will seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will seek to worship Him and serve Him in their lives. The Bible says that in verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The ones who believed sought after Jesus Christ, and they wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find people that are simply looking for a religious fix will be in place after place after place. But people who are truly seeking the Lord Jesus and a deeper relationship with Him will be faithful to the Word of God and will be faithful in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Herod tonight. Herod was intimidated by Christ. He made an attempt to act interested in Christ. But the Bible says in Matthew 2 and verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." I'm reminded of many communist lands tonight, reminded of communist China in particular. Just last week, they went into a large congregation. Several thousand people had gathered to hear Bible preaching, and they arrested the pastor, and they arrested some of the key leaders of that church. And Christianity is spreading in China, and the Chinese government is very intimidated by Christ. Oh, those folks aren't taking up arms. They're not doing anything against their government. They just want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And many rulers and many people have been intimidated by the Lord Jesus Christ. But wise men do seek Him. And believers, even in China tonight, though there is danger,
are willing to seek the Lord Jesus Christ because it is what the Bible tells them to do. You see, the people of the light seek Him. We ought to thank God tonight that while our country is changing and in many ways discouraging news is here and there, we ought to thank God that we have the freedom to do what we're doing right now, that we can worship and seek the light of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. But you know, not only do wise men seek the Savior, I believe wise men serve the Savior. And I want you to see the Bible speaks of this as we close tonight in verse 9. The Bible speaks about serving the Savior. And it says, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, the word worship is a beautiful word. In one rendering, it means to kiss toward or to ascribe worth toward something or someone. And unfortunately, over the last 20 years, a lot of people have likened worship to some kind of a rock concert. You know, when they talk about praise and worship, they're talking about some kind of a musical concert or a rock concert, Christian rock concert. And they have this idea that if you don't really rock it out, you haven't really worshiped. Well, let me tell you the honest truth of the matter. If Jesus Christ is not clearly presented, and the Bible says it this way, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If Jesus Christ is not preeminently worshiped, then you have had no Christian worship at all. And the fact of the matter is that they saw the Lord Jesus Christ and He was the center of their attention. And they worshiped Him. And they began to express their worship with a willingness. They began to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I truly believe tonight when we have Jesus in His preeminent place, when we have the right perspective of who Jesus is, you don't need a crowbar to get a dollar bill out of a Baptist wallet. When you have the right perspective of Jesus, you want to give to the Lord Jesus. You want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When He is preeminent in your heart and in your life. And so they gave gold, which was representative of the fact that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they gave frankincense, for Jesus Christ is our high priest. And then they gave myrrh, which would be representative of the fact that Jesus was born to die. Myrrh was often placed in the burial clothing of someone in the first century as they were placed into the place of their burial. And so the kings, these wise men rather, giving to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of the light will seek Him. And the people of the light will serve Him from their heart. I heard about a little girl who got home from Sunday school and she was exuberant about her lesson and she told her mom all about it. She said, Mom, we learned tonight about Jesus, the light of the world, and letting our light so shine before men and so that we may glorify our Father which is in heaven. And she was going through the whole lesson, doing a great job telling her mother about it. And her mom said, well, that's great, sweetheart. And that's great that you can just show the light of Jesus Christ and let it shine like you're showing it. And the very next Sunday in Sunday school, though, things were not as orderly. And this little girl, she actually got into a little fight with some of the other girls. And she had to go into the corner. And this day when her mom said, how was Sunday school? She said, it wasn't too good, Mom. And she told her mom what happened. And her mother said, well, sweetie, don't you remember about letting your light shine before men? The little girl thought about it and she said, Mom, I've blowed myself out. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe this past year you just blowed yourself out. Maybe instead of letting your light shine, you were rather dim in your testimony. And I want to encourage you, if you are saved tonight, that you would look ahead to the new year as a wonderful opportunity to let your light shine and to be a testimony and a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you do not know 100% in your heart that heaven would be your home, then I want to encourage you tonight, look past the candles and look past the star and see the baby laying in a manger and realize that he was God come down in the flesh, deity wrapped in humanity, in order that he might live a perfectly sinless life and then die on the cross for you and for me. And the Bible says, whosoever will call upon him can have salvation, the forgiveness of sins. John 3:19 says it this way, listen carefully. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The Bible says this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I encourage you tonight, don't choose darkness. Don't say, well, I'd accept Jesus, but you know, there's just a few things in my life that I'd rather keep on doing. Listen, there's nothing in this life worth keeping if you're going to miss salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why many times the Bible refers to salvation with the word repentance. Because being saved means that we turn to Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and we receive Him as our Savior and our Lord. More light than we can learn, more wealth than we can treasure, more love than we can earn, more peace than we can measure, because a child is born, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the light of the world.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.